We celebrate in the ordinary calendar the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King, at the end of the liturgical year. This is the end of the church year, 2018. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. Therefore, the church year 2019 begins in our liturgical calendar. And so the church always has us contemplate at the end of the year, the end of all things, and the coming of the Christ. And ultimately, the kingship of Christ is understood in its proper sense by virtue of what we heard in the second reading from Revelation, the consummation of all that Christ has done. He returns. He returns and is seen by all in his return. So much so that John tells us that the people who see him will lament him. They will lament when they see him coming in power and glory. They will lament. Why would you think they would lament? And why will many Catholics also be lamenting? Our Lord says it very clearly. Everyone who belongs to the truth hears my voice. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to the Christ, obeys the Christ, lives for Christ. And so when you see Christ returning, first and foremost, those who have lived lives of deception, typically self-deception, when they see the truth himself coming down from heaven, they lament because they absolutely know they were wrong. They were wrong. Their whole lives were amiss. And they rolled the dice that Christ wasn't really Christ. Or they rolled the dice that Christ would not return in their lifetimes. They rolled the dice that they will always have time to repent. They deceived themselves. They lied to themselves. Because anyone who knows the truth and lives by the truth knows the voice of Christ and knows what Christ has taught. Knows that Christ returns not as Savior, but as judge, and only as judge. And every man will be judged based on how he has either accepted or denied the gift of redemption. And that is the only reality. You either accept it or you deny it. There is no place where you can sit on the fence and decipher whether or not it's true. Because if you endeavor to do that, you're lying to yourself, and therefore you are in league with the father of lies, the prince of this world, the devil. The devil is notorious for creating doubt, which always leads to self-deception. Think of all the certainties that Christ has established in divine revelation. As a Roman Catholic, there's nothing you need to really question because Christ has given you everything you need in divine revelation, the sacred tradition of the Church, her sacred scriptures, magisterium, acting in concert with tradition. It's all there. Only if you have detached yourself from the truth will you entertain real doubts. Now, that's not to say you won't have doubts because you don't know something, but if you have a good conscience and a right relationship with the King, you want to know the King, therefore you will look it up, or you will ask the proper church authority for the answer. You will not let it rest in doubt unless you fall into the trap of deceiving yourself, of lying to yourself, and therefore, again, being in league with the father of lies, as Christ himself calls the devil, the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. There's so much deception out there, and a lot of it is self-deception. The vision that too many Catholics have of Christ as a pot-smoking hippie who is desperate for anyone's love and attention and will tolerate anything as long as you look at him and make him feel good by your looking at him. Christ is the conquering King. He conquered sin and death. He will not parley with it, and he will make no room for it, which is why the truly evil, Those who are truly of the world and subject by their own will to the prince of the world will lament the loudest when they see the return of Christ, because they will know with certainty how much the devil lied to them and how much they lied to themselves, so they could live a life of pleasure-seeking, hedonism, comfort, ease, obstinance in sin, and force others to accept sin. If we are following the King of the universe, then we stay with the truth. And we repent of the times where we have not spoken the truth. We make certain that we are pursuing the truth, pursuing all the knowledge that is possible. And if those who want to believe that Christ is a softie, that Christ is like us, completely doubtful and insecure, all they need to do is look at the actions of the King. There's nothing about the life of Christ that is in any way, shape, or form passive. Christ is always active. And the Gospel of John has this interesting take, inspired by the Holy Spirit and the fact that John was there, that tells us, unlike the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tells us that Christ went to the cross in the robe and the crown of thorns that the Roman soldiers had put on him. The other synoptics say that Christ put his own clothes back on, or the Roman soldiers did, before he went to the cross. But John is very meticulous, indicating that this is where Christ becomes king. Even though the Roman soldiers were mocking him, he is truly king. And therefore, he goes to the cross after he's been given that great introduction, whether known or unknown, by Pilate, as Caiaphas was inspired by the Holy Spirit, despite his evil, to say that one man must die in order to save a nation. Pilate says, "Ecce homo, behold the man." The name Adam is Hebrew for the man. Christ is the man, the true man, the paragon of manhood, the paragon of masculinity, which is why modern culture has tried to make Christ effeminate, tried to make Christ touchy-feely, tried to make Christ just a passive lover instead of charity himself, a man of strength, a man of virtue, a man of conviction, a man of power. And therefore, John tells us, which is contrary to modern myths about Christ, that because he is in the clothing of the king, everything Christ does with regards to his crucifixion is intentional. Modern effeminate Christianity wants you to believe that Christ is a poor, hapless victim, and we should weep and feel sorry for him. He is a conquering king who used the power of death and sin itself to destroy sin and death, because he took upon himself all the sins of the world, even though he was totally innocent, and he died after suffering a horrible death on the cross, both God and man, but only man could die. And therefore, the power of sin is death, and he uses the whole goal of sin to destroy, he uses that to destroy sin itself. Therefore, he is very active on the cross, never passive. He goes to the cross of his own conviction, under his own power. That's why he says, "I lay down my life willingly, and I will take it up again." Christ's divinity would not allow his humanity to die, which is why all those times they tried to kill him early on, he would either disappear or not be found. So his divinity would willfully be engaged to allow his humanity to die. Christ died because he was active, not passive. Christ died because it was the way to engage sin and death completely and absolutely defeat it. And if you and I are supposedly followers of Christ the King, then we're supposed to be imitating him. That is to say, we live an active, not passive, Catholic life. That in the face of evil, we choose not to lament as evildoers do because they know it's all lost. We know Christ is King. We know Christ is victorious. We know that he he will return in glory. And therefore, ours is supposed to be an active life where we are endeavoring to save souls. Christ has won the battle. The devil knows he has lost. He is trying to drag as many souls to hell as he can before the return of Christ, when he knows everything will be ended for him. Because Christ conquers evil for good at the end. And all those who are in league with him, the humanity that will lament when they see him coming, know they were in league with him and know they are going to suffer in hell for eternity because they chose it. They chose it. They chose the wrong leader. They chose the prince of darkness, and he lied to them. But those of us who are endeavoring to live the active Catholic life know then that Christ could return at an unexpected time by virtue of our own deaths or by virtue of his second coming. We don't know when it will occur. Certainly the church gives us signs. The red heifers are back in Israel, you know. The menorah has been rebuilt. The plans for the temple are already in play. It's a matter of causing the right war to get rid of the Mohammedan Dome of the Rock for the rebuilding of the temple. And American Protestants and Jews will rebuild the temple, and Antichrist will rise from the new temple in Jerusalem. We could be closer than we think. And Catholics have always been called to live their lives as though they believe the end of the world will come at any time, which stops us from being stupid and selfish and sinful, and has us living active Catholic lives ready for the second coming, not lamenting it, but celebrating it, and bringing as many souls to Christ so they will be ready for his return when he comes in his glory. We serve the King, the Conqueror, not a weak, doubtful, wimpy individual who is desperate for love. He is charity itself. And our connection to him is what makes us good. We're not to make him good. Whatever the case may be, the church proposes this at the end of the liturgical year for a reason. So if you look back over this past year and you think you haven't lived the Catholic life as you should have, it hasn't been quite as active and deliberate. Now's the time to renew the effort to do so. Now's the time to commit yourself to it when you receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, divinity. Now's the time for you to receive the grace to make him the king of your life so that your life points to him and that everybody who sees you will know Christ through you, because your life is a reflection of the King whom you serve. The Lord is kind and merciful, and every day we wake up is us being given another chance to serve him well. Let us make it a point to do so. Let us put away the lies and deceits of the devil and embrace the truth, because once we've embraced the truth, then we will hear the voice of the King that calls us to live life actively in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.